Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. Timely topic tonight. The Ravens today acquired Kyle Fuller, a former All-Pro with the Chicago Bears. We knew him from there, played last year in Denver, and he'll be with the Ravens apparently this year. Here to talk about that with me is Jordan Coe. Jordan, how you doing?
Good, Ken. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure, my friend. You know this, 12:45 a.m., but you've been out in the halls of power in D.C., no doubt making all kinds of waves tonight, and I appreciate you fitting this into the schedule, and this will be out tomorrow morning for people to listen to. Appreciate you doing it on a timely basis.
Yeah, man. This is an exciting depth move for this team. You know, I think there were three areas, I guess, after the Marquise Brown trade, where it was cornerback, wide receiver, like outside linebacker, were the three areas that folks wanted to see something happen. So I think there's a lot of excitement around this because it fits into one of those three buckets.
Yeah. Outside corner, kind of a question of whether that was the position they really needed. They did address it in the draft with Jalen Armour Davis, a guy who can certifiably play on the outside and not on the inside, is the point I'm making. The Ravens, you know, there's questions about whether or not they have the slot corner they need right now. The two top candidates are probably Ardarius Washington, Brandon Stevens may also be a guy. I guess Damarian Williams would be the third guy at slot corner. Kyle Fuller now enters this mix, and I don't think he's really at the top position for either, but maybe we defer that judgment to a little bit later as we talk about who Kyle Fuller was at one time and who he is coming into this season.
Yeah, I think the Ravens are going to give Ardarius Washington a full shot at that slot job. I think that's why Davon Young wasn't back. So it'll be interesting to see what direction that goes. But, you know, I think, and we talked about this during the draft when we did our live stream, you know, I was more a supporter of a guy like AJ Boye, who had been more historically an outside and inside guy, like shown the ability to play both of those positions for this team. You know, that was a better fit, right? Like, yes, Marlon Humphrey can slide inside, but I would love, that moment, would have preferred to see Humphrey be able to stay on the outside, use the boundary, be effective in that regard, and find a guy that could do it inside if they needed it.
Yeah, there's very few players who were really equally good at either position. Lardarius Webb comes to mind as a guy who was great on the outside and great in the slot also. When he was before the second injury in particular, Lardarius Webb was the best cornerback in all of football, and you really could play him inside or outside in that 2011 season when he had the big year. Kyle Fuller never really was that guy. And let's just go back over who he was historically a little bit before we turn to some of the more recent events. He's just of average height, 5'11", 190. He turned 30 in February, so he's not a young guy. And, you know, the father time being undefeated cliche certainly has to be considered for him, given a very weak 2021 season with Denver. He's signed to a $9.5 million contract for them, 1 year. He was one of the most disappointing free agents of all of last year. It wasn't a matter, I don't think, in his case, of system, because he followed Vic Fangio to Denver, you know, and he's playing in the system he was there before. In fact, was highly praised at times during the season by Fangio.
Yeah, the way you see this is that you don't want to see a guy. So it's one thing if, like, it's Marcus Peters, like, decline in the last year, which was an injury, right? It's a different thing when you see a guy come in and he just has declined, right? Yeah. And you know, Father Time, you know, you have mentioned this before when we've talked, Father Time beats everybody. It beats us. Mm-hmm. You know.
Beat me long ago.
You know, you worry about that in the sense that, like, okay, if that's what it is, that's what it is. And, you know, it's not coming back. Now, maybe there are extenuating circumstances here. Maybe they were like maybe Fangio knew he was asking Fuller to do more than he could do. Who knows? You know, that's why this all comes down to dollars, right? You know, what the price tag is here, what the Ravens are asking this guy to do, are what matters.
Yeah, I absolutely, in terms of right player, right price. Let's talk a little bit more about who Kyle Fuller was. But one of the nice things about him is he's been healthy for pretty much his whole career. He missed the 2016 season entirely. Every other season, he's played every single game, including he's on a run now of 80 consecutive games played, which when you think about Ravens cornerbacks, that hasn't happened too often.
Yeah, I mean, we're happy to take a guy that can bother to stay healthy for the better part of three seasons. You know, I think the Ravens would have loved to see a guy as their third corner just stay healthy. So yes. We're happy to take it.
Yeah, a guy who he's played exclusively on the outside for his time in the league until last year. So he was the rarest of commodities, really, an outside corner with a great ball hawk skills. You just those guys are, you know, they're Peters, they're Revis, you know, the guys are the most highly sought after commodities out there. Really known as one of the most dangerous ball hawks in the league. He had 7 interceptions in 2018 when he was all pro. He had consecutive years in 17 and 18 where he had 22 and 21 passes defense. Those are enormous numbers. So, you know, when you're up over a pass defense per game at corner, Pro Bowl both those years, actually Pro Bowl in 18 and 19. So it's kind of the trailing effect of some of this. But he came to the Broncos in 2021 on a 1-year, $9.5 million deal. And he was one of the really big disappointments in the entire free agent market.
It's interesting that you mentioned Peters in the name of like kind of like what that iteration is, because Peters is like one of those, like there's this unique thing within the NFL that Peters seems wildly underrated. Mm-hmm. that for guys that are ball hawks and are like guys that like take chances but create turnovers, which are hugely important, even if you mm-hmm. give up big plays, has had a falling out, or I don't know if you call it a falling out. Just like couldn't stick at the teams that he was at before the Ravens, and who knows what's going to happen after a year? Like maybe he doesn't stick with the Ravens either. But it's interesting in that regard that like it almost seems like post 18-19, Kyle Fuller fell in the same bucket. Like what is it that we have? Like, is he a ball hawk? Was it system? Like, what are those things? And like, is there an opportunity here? You know. But you would expect the Ravens to be able to read that correctly of any team, I feel like.
Right. I mean, that is always one of the nice things about being a Ravens fan. When you're watching the draft, you can always say, yeah, well, if they like him, I like him. And most of the time, that's a good situation. There have been occasions in recent years where we haven't felt the same way about it. But that's how it goes sometimes. He had had significant decline at Chicago before he went to Denver, obviously. And then obviously he really crapped the bed this last year. But just to talk through what happened in the 2021 season, he started the first 5 games at left corner. So, I mean, they obviously signed him to be a starter for that kind of contract. Then they benched him for 3 games. And they have a $9.5 million guy on the bench, and he plays 4 snaps in 3 games, plays no snaps in one of them. But then they had a moment of need where Patrick Surtain, I believe it was, went down. And they had to move him into slot corner against the Dallas Cowboys. And he ended up facing some good receivers there, including some CeeDee Lamb that he was covering in that game. They threw at him 5 times, and 3 of those were on 3rd down. He had a really nice pass breakup that I saw against Lamb, but he had 3 drive-ending coverage plays in that game that really kind of earned him another shot during the season. I'll just go through the rest really quickly here. He moved to the slot corner then, and he stayed there for 5 games. Then the great Ronald Darby returned to take his spot. So, you know, this is a case where if you're going to lose your job, at least lose it to somebody great like Ronald Darby. And he was benched for 2 more games. And then he played the last 2 games at a combination of right corner and slot. So they used him as they needed him. I don't know what their injury situation was in those last 2 games for Denver. And you know, I don't know that I really care, honestly. 126.6 passer rating for the year against him. That's obviously the big number the Ravens really had to think hard about before they signed it.
Yeah, you know, and it's one of those things that cuts both ways, right? Like, on one side of it, it's like, okay, like, if Vic Fangio, who felt like at times thought that Fuller within his system could have value and was still willing to play him, there's something to that, right? And then usually the other side of it is like, oh, if there are times where Vic Fangio wasn't willing to play him, like maybe he didn't have the athletic talent for it to be there. You know, the Ravens are going to have to make that call, and they're only going to be able to find that out at camp. in the preseason, maybe even early in the regular season, you know, when he gets that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, in our extended production meeting earlier, we talked about the, you know, Fangio's, him being really brought in to play Fangio's defense. And part of that is that, you know, he was brought in to play Fangio's defense. That means whatever Fuller does, you know, Fangio believed that last year he could make him into probably a turnover machine within the Denver defense. He could make use of ball hawking skills within that Denver defense. And obviously that didn't happen last year. That's goes without saying, honestly, with the way things went. But it's worse than that, that he obviously lost the confidence even of Fangio, as you're mentioning. And I don't know that there's another coach that's going to know Fangio better, including, you know, Mike McDonald, to be able to say, hey, wait a minute, Fangio was using him wrong. I got the role for him right here. And yeah, the Ravens have a great back seven. Maybe they are extremely well suited to take advantage of the turnover potential he brings, play some zone packages that he could be a part of, have him in there on third down. Maybe he even takes a different role than we were even thinking about. He's not slotter outside. He's in there at the dime back or whatever. Don't know, but the Ravens, yeah, I think I come back to the Ravens probably just made a simple depth signing with this move, and perhaps he's a guy that does not even make the team.
Yeah, well, there's a chance that he makes the team, and God willing, which he has not been of late, that this core stays healthy, and Ardarius Washington, Brandon Stevens, Marcus Peters, and Marlon Humphrey cover what the Ravens need in addition to their safeties of Clark, Hamilton, and Williams. And he sees 100 snaps on the year because there's or less.
Yeah, that'd be a ton.
No need. If that's the kind of signing that this is, I'm excited for it because I think that's the kind of guy you want in this situation, right?
Two guys you didn't mention in there are Jalen Armour-Davis and Damarian Williams. Now they're both fourth round draft picks. They're both going to make the team. You know that Ravens will never cut a fourth round draft pick. And you know, assuming they don't get hurt, yeah, you know, the Ravens could find out quickly that they don't have exactly what they thought they were buying with those two guys in the draft. But my guess is that they won't know, and there'll be a high premium paid on snaps going to developmental players. So one of the nice things about the start of Anthony Averett's career was he got to play 65 snaps as a rookie. And he talked about 100 snaps for Fuller here. If that happened, and that means Armour-Davis got none, and it wasn't just because Armour-Davis is hurt and unavailable, I'd be really upset by that. I mean, organizationally, that's not a sensible way to operate your franchise.
Well, I don't know that I agree with that in the sense that if the four prior guys I mentioned stay healthy, mm-hmm. so if Peters, Humphrey, Ardarius Washington wins the slot position, mm-hmm. and Brandon Stevens moves back to the extra guy on the outside that they need, then there shouldn't be the snaps. Like that's how I mean it, right? Like the snaps shouldn't, barring injury, exist. That being said, depth is required.
Okay, completely buy that. But let me bring it back then. So now you do or you don't need your fourth cornerback. And if you do need your fourth outside cornerback specifically, and Stevens is number three, and I think that's not unreasonable. Armour-Davis, I hope, is number four and Fuller is number five. I hope, you know, he's his position on the depth chart, he should be on the bubble. That's the good Ravens situation, is that they suddenly decide at midseason they have to cut him. Or, you know, one of the things we've already discussed is that it's a very good chance he's a handshake deal to have a handshake deal guy where he's cut automatically at the start of camp. And obviously it depends on how much salary and how much guaranteed money they've got tied up in him. But if he's a vet min guy with some bonuses likely to be earned, then they can cut him right before the season starts on a handshake agreement, bring him back on the same deal after they've had a chance to slip somebody through onto IR.
I guess what I would say is that the hypotheticals of the hypotheticals that we're playing here are like too deep, right? Like if the reason why you're upset that he has played 100 snaps, but Armour-Davis has not played 100 snaps, have like played out in like a certain iteration, I'm not willing to play that game necessarily because I don't know what that's going to look like. I can agree with what you're saying, and I can also disagree with what you're saying. It's like there are too many steps down the road for me to be overly committed to one of those or the other. Like, all that being said, you know, this deal at a veteran minimum, if that's what it is, and again, you know, even here at almost 1 o'clock in the morning, the day after the signing, we still don't know the answer to that.
Right.
It's a valid question, right? Like, if it's more than that, then he's definitely ahead of Armour Davis. And if you've got a problem with that, I don't object to that, right? Like, you know, I think those are interesting questions that still remain to be answered. I think I would agree with you that we think we know the answer, but they're not clear yet.
Okay. All right. Well, that is fair enough. And obviously, price matters in this case. And this is a right player, right price signing, if there ever was one, in terms of it needs to be considered in that light, given exactly where he is in his career.
Well, and you look at the Jarvis Landry deal for New Orleans, and whether you think Jarvis Landry was going home, like, I don't know how anybody can think Jarvis Landry is going to get more looks with a healthy Michael Thomas coming back than he might get in, like, this Baltimore offense, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think that, like, it's about the same. You factor in a running-based offense, you factor in one of the top wide receivers, you know, in the league 2 seasons ago.
Right.
You know, those dollars tell me that the Ravens will not be willing to give Kyle Fuller anything more than the veteran minimum incentives.
Great point. So you're extrapolating, just to parrot that back, you're extrapolating from the Landry deal that if they weren't willing to pay $3 million for Landry plus some bonuses, then they're probably not going to be willing to pay anything more than the vet minimum for Kyle Fuller. And I would agree with that logic. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. All right. Well, outstanding discussion as always, Jordan. And I think we're looking forward to who Kyle Fuller is. I hope we'll see in camp and we'll kind of see what he's got left in the tank. And last question I'd ask you is what do you think his percentage chance is to make the 2022 Ravens? And I mean, by this, you know what I mean, being on the week one roster as opposed to the handshake deal situations.
I think my initial hunch is less than 40%. This strikes me as a veteran minimum deal, one that, you know, if everybody else is healthy, if Armour Davis and Demaryius Williams play really well at camp, like, I think Fuller has no shot. Like, what is the point? As you were saying earlier, and again, we don't know that now, but if they play well enough at camp to say, hey, these guys can do the same level job, they understand the system well enough, or they are exceptionally athletic enough to override some of those things,
right,
we're going to roll with them instead. I think all those things are counting against Fuller. I think his best crack at the roster would be to show his ability or willingness to play special teams and have some opportunity there. For a guy that's 30, is that what we're going to see?
Don't know. Maybe Tony
feels
Jefferson?
Feels sure. Unlikely. For a guy that was out of the league for a year, sure.
Yeah. So, it's a great question. I mean, Fuller has been to the ego woodshed last year in Denver. I mean, if he doesn't realize who he is as a player, the NFL will unfortunately cruelly make that clear to him this season, probably for the last time.
Just like you and all of us on your podcast, Ken. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. Outstanding. Always great to talk football with you, Jordan. Love having you on. Appreciate you coming on so late for a timely topic like this. Tell folks where they can talk football with you.
Yeah, you guys can find us at filmstudybaltimore.com. Gabe Ferguson and I have a podcast together. We talk about the games, important plays, try and break it down and the strategy of what the Ravens are doing after the games. So we're both also on Twitter. I'm at Raven Sit Room. He's at Gabe Fergie. We'd love to see you guys all there.
But both great follows, and make sure you give their pod a shot because it's one of the really good cerebral pods out there in terms of talking about football, and very pleased to have them on our platform as well. Other folks out there, if you'd like to do a film study short with me, I'd love to hear from you. DMs are always open on Twitter. Narrow topic, please, folks, that we can get into in about 20 to 30 minutes. We always start loving talking football and ends up going 45. That's fine, but I want a narrow topic if you possibly can. I'll get back to you very quickly on that. Jordan, thanks again for coming on.
No, thanks for having me again.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.